Begin the current Daf Masechta Nedarim Daf Chaf Hei. Begin on the second line for the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Daf and the previous Mishnah. And that is, again, our Perek is called Perek Arba Nedarim, because the opening Mishnah described four different types of vows that we're talking about in all these different Mishnahs, that although from the person's words itself it would sound like that they're taking a nether, however, the circumstances are that the person is not intending to take a full-fledged vow, and therefore what he's vowing to be forbidden based on this is going to be permitted. Now, the category that we spoke about in the previous Mishnah was the second one. First Mishnah spoke about Nidra's reason, motivational Nidarim. And our Mishnah spoke about Nidra Havoy, which the concept of Nidra Havoy is that although from the person's words it would sound like that he's taking a nether, because like the two examples mentioned in the Mishnah, he says that if I didn't see like how many people left Egypt, which obviously he didn't see, and or a snake that's as big, that as ridged as the beam of the olive press, which obviously he didn't see because there is no such thing as our Gemara will later illustrate, then this thing should be forbidden. So based on the person's words, it should be forbidden. But as the halacha is explained, that is that people generally talk in that exaggerated fashion, and therefore he really did see many people, and therefore it's not going to be considered that this thing is prohibited based on his neder. Now, on the Gemara, and according to the Girsa of the Ran, ended off with a question the Ravina asked Rav Ashi, and that is, why is it being called a Nidra Havoy? You're saying that the reason why, that he's not going to be forbidden in this object, it's going to be forbidden if I didn't see this many people, and we know he didn't see that many people. So he said, yes, but people are megazim, they exaggerate, they talk in those type of terms. And if the person is saying the truth, and then Ravina had asked, what do you have to say that for? Why don't you just say that he actually did see 600,000 Kiyatim Mitzrayim? But he wasn't referring to people. He was referring to ants. On that, the Gemara answer on the top of our Amid said that no, when the person takes an oath, when he takes a vow, he does it based on the understanding of what normally people are talking about. People don't generally call ants in the term of Oyli Mitzrayim, of those who left Egypt. That's generally used in the form of people. And that's why the Gemara is explaining it. It's called the Nidra Havoy, and that's why it's not going to be forbidden, based on the interpretation of people exaggerating. Hence, although the words itself sound like you're taking a nether, it's not going to be a nether, it's going to be permitted. Now, that's why our current Gemara continues and asks on this, and that is, Valdaita de Nafshe lo'ovet inish de mishtabe. Is it really true what you're answering? You said that we couldn't say that he's permitted in these fruits, even though he obviously didn't see 600,000 Kiyatim Mitzrayim, that maybe he did see, because he saw 600,000 ants, he saw ant hill where it's not so hard to see them in the ants. And you said that's not why it could be permitted of fruits, because people don't usually use those terms. So although he maybe used that term, that is, I saw on this road, like those, how many left Egypt, which if you saw them in the ants, then definitely you could have seen that. But if a person's saying Ka'ilim Mitzrayim, since generally people don't use that term, so then we can't interpret that that's what he meant to say, and therefore, if not for the concept of Nidra Havoy, he actually would be forbidden these fruits. And that thing, but Tanya, we similarly learned in the Braisa, not like this, and that is, we could say, when the person makes a Shavuot, he makes whatever definition he's giving to it. And therefore, that returns us to the question of Ravina, that it seemingly a person could give his own spin. And maybe Oyli Mitzrayim means ants and not people. So even without the concept of Nidra Havoy, it would still be permitted because he actually did see 600,000. Although ants, not people, has learned in the Braisa. And the Braisa tells us, Kashem Ashbiyin Oisai, when the courts require someone to swear the biblical oath of what's called Maid B'miktis, which is when somebody tells someone, you owe me $100. He says, no, actually, I already paid you back 50, I only owe you 50. So there's a biblical halacha that he has to swear, obviously the 50 that he says he still owes, he has to pay, he has to swear that the 50 that he claims he paid, that he paid that. Now, Oymen Loy, moreover, not only do they make him make a Shvuah, but Bezin, the courts tell this person, have you a day, you should just know. We're not making you take an oath based on the conditions of your heart, based on what you're thinking and interpreting when you're coming to make a Shvuah. Rather, based on our understanding and then the understanding of the courts, just know when you're taking an oath, although words are relative in definition, you're going based on our understanding. And therefore, if you're swearing that you paid up already the half, you should just know the interpretation is based on our understanding. Now that, the Gemara asks, Lafuke Mai, what does that come to exclude? What does that mean? Of course, you're making a shvuah, he's making a shvuah. What would be different whose das it is? Meaning according to whose interpretation. So now that the Gemara asks, Lav Lafuke, isn't it come to exclude? The asik lahu le'is kundere. For example, that if the debtor, the borrower, the one that owes the money, he gave to the person that he owes, he gave him like these small little tokens that are made out of wood that people play with, like our games. The asiklu shema zuzi. Now, he called it zuzi, money. So when he's, I say, I promise I paid you back 50 coins or $50, I call these coins dollars. Now, so that's what they're coming to say. Look, you know, you're going to swear that you paid him back $50. You didn't really give him back dollars. You give him back these tokens, these pogs, whatever it is that you call the dollars. So we want you to know that, no, if you're going to swear $50, you're going to say what people generally call dollars. Now, nothing messing with the kamal datenu. From the fact that regarding that halacha of moed b'miktzis, when bezdin requires a shvua, the courts have to say that, look, don't make it on your intention, your shvua. You have to go based on our understanding. So machlaba, the inference is that the other inish d'mishtab be'adai t'dinash, that generally, when a person is making his own shvua, nothing with courts, he's just saying a shvua, I swear that I'm going to be usher in all these fruits if I didn't see this, how many people left Egypt. So it sounds like that then the person could give whatever definition he's using. So if he just used the words of Oyle Mitzrayim, as many as left Egypt, didn't say people, it can mean ants. And if that's because we see that a person's own definitions could go into it. Generally, you could say that $50 means 50 of these round little tokens. And that's why the courts are saying, don't think that that's going to be the definition here. Obviously, in court, we have an objective over here. It's regarding to what generally people call it money. But if we see that generally a person could do that, so then that brings us back to the question of Ravina. So then why does the Mishnah have to say the halacha, why it's permitted the fruits, is because Nidra Avoy, say because he's actually saying the truth. Nothing to do with exaggerations. He saw Koyle Mitzrayim, which is a reference to ants and not to people. So I think Moses lawyer. Actually, there's no raya from this brisa that generally a person can be Mishnah Be'adai D'Nafsha. You can't. If you're saying a shvua, you're going on based on what the general interpretation of that word is. So then what is the understanding of Al Datenu Val Das Bezen? If $50 means $50, why do they have to preface that by warning him to say it's our interpretation, not your interpretation? It's actually for a different halacha. It's lafuki mekanyidrava. This is what's known as the cane of Rava. Now, which as the Rush explains, that this halacha is not an exaggeration. Actually, what it's coming to exclude from is that the person who took the shvua, which as we're going to see, that he actually gave the other person the money. It's just that he didn't give it to him for payment. It's just that he wanted him to hold it in the interim. On that, the person's saying the truth. And therefore, in that case, is when we're coming to say that it's al datenu val das bezen. In other words, don't try to be outsmart the system, as the Gemara explains. Tehu gavar dava masik b'chabri zuzi. There was a certain person that was trying to claim money owed to him by someone else. Sasla kamei derabbi, came in front of Rava. So amalei l'loibe, so the lender said to the borrower, zilparli, go ahead and pay me. He brought him to court. He says, look, you borrowed money. You owe me money. So amalei praticha. So the borrower said that I already paid you, which as Zoran explains, obviously it's a reference to that I paid you some of it, because if it was denying all of it, that he said I paid you all of it, then the story later on wouldn't be exact, because the Gemara says later on that he held the Sefer Torah, and the person that's denied everything, and that oath would only be a rabbinic oath of what's called a Shavuos Hesses, which doesn't require holding an object like a Sefer Torah. Rather, it must be told about Maid B'miktzis. It's just that the Gemara didn't bother explaining that because we're not detailing those halachas here. So he says, I paid you already half of it. So Amalei Rava, so Rava said to him, Imkein, Zilish Dabele de Parate. So, okay, that's the Maid B'miktzis. You have to swear. So obviously the half you say you still owe, so you pay that. The part that you're saying you paid already, you have to take an oath. So Azul Va'aisi Kanye, so he went, this guy, and he brought a cane. The Yav Zuzi Begave, he filled up the inside of the cane with coins. So he was leaning as if he needed a cane and coming into court. So Amalei Lamavas, I said to the lender, okay, I'm ready to make my shvua, but please hold my cane, you know, as I'm making the shvua. The Nasav Sefer Torah, so he held the Sefer Torah, and he swore, I swear that whatever I have, I gave and I paid up to this person already. So in a sense, he was saying the truth. And then this is the halacha that we're coming to exclude from regarding that it has to be al-datenu v'adas bezdin. In other words, don't try to trick the system. but not because it's al daite, as if he's giving a different interpretation. He actually gave the person that money. He's saying the truth. It's not like I'm calling tokens dollars. He gave him the money. Now what happened was, hahu malva ragas. That lender got so upset, a liar. He never paid me, and he really didn't pay him. So v'tavra la'ukani, he broke the cane. V'shtapachanu zuzilar. And guess what comes rolling out? Are all the coins come rolling out onto the ground. V'shtakeach, the kush d'shtaben. Turns out that he was saying the truth, because he literally gave him coins. And that's how he wanted to exempt himself. And that's what the courts are saying. Look, you're swearing al datein v'adas bezdin. Meaning, don't, even if you're saying the truth, just be aware that that's not our objective. Our objective is to say that you paid him up, and you paid him up for good. However, regarding other halachas, it's still like the way Rav Ashi had answered to Ravina, that a person cannot make a shvua daite de navshe. And therefore, when you're saying kiyotz mitzrayim, it's not a reference to ants, and rather the only reason why it's like it's going to be permitted is, like our Mishnah said, because it's what's called nidri havoy. And people tend to exaggerate, so though it is in reference to people, but people could say a lot of people, and they say ka'ilim mitzrayim. But again, a person is not mishtabeh, adaiti de nafshe. Here in that case, that the al da'atein of adas bezdin is coming to exclude when someone tries doing a trick like Kanye de Rava, and that's what we're saying, don't try to do this, you know, smart things and get away from what the primary objective, which we're trying to prove, is if you paid him for good or not. And the Gemara continues asking on this, v'kati lo avid de mishtabeh, adaiti de nafshe. Is it really true that people do not, cannot make a shvu, and the making a shvu doesn't mean based on their own perception and their own definition of what they mean to say, and hence to say that oilem mitzrayim can mean ants. But v'tani lo'tna b'raisa. Says, v'chem etzina b'Moshe Rabbeinu, so do we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, k'shesh b'yas Yisrael b'arvas mayav, when he made the Jewish people swear regarding the acceptance of the Torah in arvas mayav, that Amalahem, he said to them, have a yoidim, you should just know, sh'loya da'itchem ani mashbi'aschem. It's not based on your understanding that I'm making you take an oath regarding the accepting and the keeping of the Torah. It's based on our comprehension and our understanding of me and of Hashem, what we mean to say when we say about what the Torah means. So like it says in Pasuk in Devarim, that not only you, now what that means to say is that not only the way you understand what the Torah means to say. Now, as the Ran proves this, is because if you think the Pasuk is trying to say that lo itchem levatchem means, as it sounds like that what the simple translation of the Pasuk is, as it says in the Devarim Chav Tes Yud Gimel, lo itchem levatchem noichi keres sabris azois, that's all azois, not only for you am I making this bris, this covenant, but it's actually with all future generations. If that's what the Pasuk is coming to say, you can't say that because it actually says that right after, es asha yesh nebay, es asha enen nebay. It says that this covenant is being made for whoever's here and whoever's not, even for future generations. So what are the words lo'itchem levatchem coming to say? It's coming to say that it's not with you itself, the interpretation. It's based on my understanding and of Hashem's understanding of what this Torah means to require, and that's what you're swearing on. And again, the same idea like we find in Bezdin, where it's lo'yadaitchem, but rather it's andas of what the Bezdin is. Now, on that the Gemara asks, so my amaluhu Moshe Liso, what was Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jewish people? What would they be thinking or interpreting that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, no. It's based on our interpretation, meaning of Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. Lav hachi kamalu, isn't this what he was telling them? Dilma av vidatun mili. Maybe you're going to do something wrong. Vamitin, you're going to say, al datenu. It was based on our understanding. When you said we can't steal, I don't call that stealing. I call that stealing, and this what I did is okay. So Mishim hachi amalu, because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, al dati. It's my interpretation. That's the Torah Shabbat Peh, is the interpretation of what the Torah really means to say. It's not based on your interpretation. Now, lafuke mai, what is that coming to exclude? Lav lafuke da siku shema lavoydiz kechov me'aloi ha. Isn't that what it's coming to say? That the people, although obviously when Moshe Rabbeinu said that you have to fear Hashem and you have to serve Hashem, he said Eloi Kim, so obviously what the simple translation, and that's obviously what Moshe Rabbeinu meant, was Hashem, but maybe their das, their interpretation was, when you say Eloika, who is that? That's idols. When you said that you should believe in Eloika, in God, who is that? It means that idol. That's my interpretation. You said you think that, I think that. And therefore, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, no. It's based on my interpretation, and you know what I mean to say. So, Mechlal, so that's what happened by Arvas Mayav. when they took the Shavuos regarding keeping the Torah. What sounds like is, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu had to exclude from that regarding the acceptance of the Torah, to generally, when a person makes his own private Shavuah, that it could be based on his own interpretation, even though that's not what everyone else thinks. And again, back to the question then, if you have Ravina's question then, there could be ants and not people. And again, the Gemara says, no. It's not because you could give it your own interpretation. It's because actually, is that idol worship, idols are called Eloha. Just like says the Pasuk in Shemais. V'chol Elihei Mitzrayim B'Gomer. That it calls the false gods Eloha. And therefore, as Rashi explains himself, the Shavuos, that even if you go based on their words, the person is actually saying the truth. This is not just based on interpretation. You can't give your own interpretation. But still, Moshe Rabbeinu had to warn them that you should go on based on Al-Dati, Al-Das Al-Makim, because the words themselves lend themselves to a different interpretation. And that's why you have to say. But you can't just give your own interpretation. That's not what usually it's used for. But on that, the Gemara asked, and that's why he had to say al-daiti v'adasa makam, is to exclude from another definition that the word actually has. Well, then v'lash b'yasin, so then he should have made them take a shvua, to mikaymisun mitzvahs, that you swear that you're going to fulfill the mitzvahs, which then obviously that doesn't lend itself to another interpretation. And if it doesn't lend itself to another interpretation, so then he wouldn't have to say al-daiti v'adasa makam. Why does he have to say al-daiti v'adasa makam? Just use a different word which doesn't lend itself to another interpretation. That the Gemara says actually, that also lends itself to another interpretation. Because mashma mitzvah samelech, which as the Rosh brings actually a pasuk in Megillah Esther says, madua ta'iver es mitzvah samelech, why are you violating the mitzvahs, the commandments of the king? So when he says to keep the mitzvahs, they'll think, okay, whoever is the king, we listen to him, not to Hashem, chas shalom. But then the Gemara asks, okay, but balash v'yasan d'mikamisen kol mitzvahs. He could have, instead of saying al daiti v'adasa makab, to qualify what he's making them take a shvua, he could have just said, you should swear that you're going to fulfill all the mitzvahs. So that the Gemara answers, no, mashma mitzvahs tzitzis. Then they would have said, that just means that you only have to wear tzitzis. Because the Amamaz, the master said, shkula mitzvahs tzitzis kenega kol mitzvahs Shabbat Torah. The mitzvah tzitzis is equivalent to all the mitzvahs in the Torah. If he's saying we have to keep all the mitzvahs, what does that mean? That means tzitzis. And then they wouldn't have kept the other 612 mitzvahs. But the Gemara continues asking. Okay, we have another term they could have used. V'lash v'yasin d'kamisim Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu could have just made them swear that you're going to keep the Torah. And again, then he wouldn't have to say al daiti b'adasa makam, because that doesn't lend itself to another interpretation, which the Gemara says it does, because mashma Torah achas. If he's saying in the singular to keep the Torah, it sounds like one Torah, which is Torah Shabbat, but not the other Torah, which is Torah Shabbat Peh. But the Gemara asks, okay, for v'lash v'yasin d'kamisim Torah, he could have just said, you swear that you're going to keep the Torah, which would mean both of them. And that the Gemara says no, because Mashma Teres Mincha, Teres Chatas, Teres Asham, when the Torah talks about the halachas of these kabbanas, it uses the word Tairas, which, if you tell me to keep the Tairas, oh, okay, I'll keep the laws of the Karban Mincha, Karban Chatas, Teres Asham, but nothing else. But the Gemara continues asking. So, V'lash V'yasan, the Kaimisan Tairas or Mitzvahs. He could have had them swear that you're going to keep the Tairas and the Mitzvahs. And that the Gemara says no. Because Tairas, Mashma Teres Mincha. They would have said, oh, keeping the Torah, that means halachas mincha and all the other karbanas. And mitzvahs is mashma mitzvah samelach. So we'll keep those mitzvahs, the karbanas, and we'll listen to the commandments of the king. So the Gemara asks, okay, but v'lesh v'yaisun, the kid made them swear, the mekaimisun Torah kula. Swear that you're going to keep the entire Torah. And that the Gemara answers, Torah kula, mashma mitzvah kechavim. Keeping the entire Torah would sound like that they only have to keep one mitzvah of not serving idols. They're telling like, learn the b'raisa. Chamura avoides kechavim, that idol worship is so severe, because as it says actually in the parasha of the carbon of avoides kechavim, it says v'chisishku b'loisasu es kol ha-mitzvahs, and shekol ha-kaif about that, whoever denies idols, kilo maida b'tara kula, it's as if he admitted to the entire Torah. So if it would have said to keep the whole Torah, it would have sounded like just to keep idol worship and not all the other mitzvahs. But the Gemara continues asking, v'lash v'yasin, he could have made them swear, he could have said, you swear that you're going to keep the mitzvah of not serving idols and the whole Torah. Where now Torah kula can't mean idols because he already said that. So Torah kula obviously then means the whole entire Torah. Or inami, he could have made them swear, sheish meis v'shleish eser mitzvahs, you have to keep the 613 commandments, which obviously means all of the Torah. So now the Gemara answers, you're right. He could have said those texts. Ela Moshe Rabbeinu milsa de la tricha nakat. But Moshe Rabbeinu preferred to say something which wasn't a long and concerted statement, which was, he said it very succinctly. It's al daiti of al das amakam. I don't have to say anything more. It's based on my interpretation, an interpretation of Hashem, and that you get from the tzaddikim, from the Talmid HaChachamim, from the leaders of the generation, who tell you what Moshe Rabbeinu's interpretation is, and what Hashem's interpretation is. But, yes, we could have said that to keep idol worship, or the Torah Kulo, or the 603rd mitzvah, but they didn't want to go through the whole thing. But again, the understanding is not because that you can give your own interpretation. Even when you're making your own shvu, you can't give your own interpretation. It's just that all these words could mean something else. Now, although we could have said a statement that doesn't mean something else, but that's a longer statement, so just to say it more succinctly, he said it, al-dati al-dasamakim, but it couldn't just said, keep the Torah or keep the mitzvahs, because that could mean other things, and therefore then they legitimately could have gotten out of the shvu of keeping the Torah, but not because on interpretation, but because the words actually mean that. But again, as we said before, that a person, when he makes a shvu, is al-das, what the general population is, and not on his own interpretation. That's why the halach of Kareila Mitzrayim has to be havoi, an exaggeration, and not in reference, let's say, to ants, that you saw 600,000 ants on this road. Now, actually, the Ran tells us, and actually the Gemara Masechta Shavuos actually concludes differently, and says that only answers why he says al-daiti. But why does it say al-das ha-mokim? So the Gemara there says, so that there's no nullifying of this oath, because generally when you have a shvu, you can be made for the shvu, but if you say al-das ha-mokim, so you can't be made for the shvu. But again, it's all the same idea, that we see that it's not because you could give your own interpretation, but rather because that there would have been some other problem if had he not said that. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, which gave the second example of a nidre havoi, which is a person said that if these fruits will be forbidden to me if I didn't see a snake that's like a kareis beis abad, like the beam of the olive press. So that the Mishnah said that he hasn't taken neder, it's not valid as a neder, although he obviously did not see such a snake, and the fruits are not forbidden to him. Now the Mishnah said him loy isi nachash kareis beis abad. So he said that if I didn't see a snake like the beam of the olive press, and on that the Gemara asks, v'loy, is it really true that that's called havoy? That's an exaggeration, but vahu chivya, but there was actually a snake. To have Bishnei Shavar Malka, that was in the years of King Shapur, the Ramule that they gave to this snake, Talesur Urvasa the Tivna, they gave it a measurement of 13 stables full of hay. Ubalayas, and then swallowed it. Obviously, that's a very large one. That's bigger than the beam of the olive press. So Amash Moshmul explains that it doesn't mean in large, it's actually referenced bitaruf, meaning that the press, the beam in the olive press, has ridges on it. And that was saying that if he says, I saw a snake as large, that's ridged like the beam, that is obviously exaggerating. And it's not even an exaggeration, as the Ran explains. He's obviously lying. But again, that's the halacha that we said in the Mishnah, that it's still not going to be a neder, although he didn't see such a snake. It's just that he wants to back up that lie, and he doesn't really mean to make these fruits forbidden. Now, that Gemara actually asks, what do you mean? Kulin nachshi mitrif tarf. It's not really true. What do you mean? All snakes are actually rich. So what are you saying, that that's a lie? Or like the Rush explains it, an exaggeration. It's not. It's actually true. So that Gemara answers, no. Agaboy tarf kamina. What the person was saying was that on its back it was rich. And it's actually not true. Snakes are not ridged on their back, only in their necks. And this person is saying that the fruits are forbidden to me if I didn't see such a snake, which is a lie, but still that's called Havai, and he's not going to be forbidden on the fruits, again, as we explained in the Mishnah. Now, that the Gemara asked, what do you mean? So then Velisni, instead of going through this long process of describing what we mean to say when the person is making this lie of saying the snake was ridged, let the Mishnah just say, the person said, if I didn't see a snake, that its back was tarf, was ridged. Why say that if I didn't see a snake that was like the beam of the olive press? So I think my answer is Milsaga Borcha Kamashmon. The Tanya of the Mishnah is parenthetically teaching us another different chiddush in halacha. The Kiryas Beis Abad, that the beam of the olive press, Gabay Tarf, the back of it is ridged. L'may Naf Kamina, what relevance does that have? L'mekha Chamemcha, for sale. L'mekha, to tell you, Hamaycha Kiryas Beis Abad, L'chavev, if someone sells the beam of the olive press to his friend, Igabay Tarf, in. If the back is rich, then yes, v'loy, but if not, it's not a sale. And the reason is because when someone generally sells a beam of an olive press to his friend, it has to be ridged. And that's the chiddush that we're teaching agav, parenthetically, and to tell us that chiddush. But the primary idea is to say that if it's ridged and the snake is not ridged on its back, that's what we're calling it havoy regarding that halacha of nachash kekreis beis abad. Now we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Mishnah continues with the third of the four arbon nedarim that we spoke about, that although the words themselves sound like you're making a neder, it's not going to have the validity of a halacha of a neder, which the first two were neder is reason, motivational darm. Second one was one we just described, of neder havoy. And now we're by neder shkogis, which are vows that were by mistake. Which, as Aran explains, the Mishnah is going to tell us two similar cases, but they're different, and that is the first one is that at the time when he made the neder, he was mistaken. So, for example, let's say someone says, koinim, that these foods are going to be forbidden to me. Imachalti vim shasisi, if I ate or if I drank. And v'nisker, he remembers that, oi, sha'ach v'shasi, that he did eat and he did drink. He thought he didn't. So that's a shaykh. He didn't really mean to make the neder. He thought he didn't. And that's why he's saying that if I did, it's going to be asr. So since he really didn't mean to make it asr, it's not going to be asr. Now, moreover, the Mishnah tells us that even if the shkaga, the mistake, was actually only at the time when the neder was to take effect, even though when he actually made the neder, when the words came out of his mouth, he wasn't a shaykh. There was no error over there. As the Mishnah tells us, let's say a person says that Shani oichel v'shani shaysa. In other words, that he says that let this loaf of bread be forbidden on me if I'm going to eat or if I'm going to drink today. Now, he obviously doesn't plan on eating and drinking, and that's why he's saying that it's going to be forbidden, because it's not going to be forbidden because I don't really plan on eating. Now, v'shachach v'ochel v'shasa. He forgot. And he forgot he took such a neder, and he ended up eating and drinking. So since that at the time of the neder takes effect when he ends up fulfilling the condition of eating and drinking. At that moment, when he eats and drinks, he's inadvertent. He forgot that he made the neder. And he doesn't recall that that's going to trigger the neder. So that's, again, a shaygig of the neder. And therefore, there's not going to be any neder that's going to be chal. Again, they're similar but different. One is at the time that you make it, you forgot that you had eaten, so that's a shugging in the verbalization. And the second one is even when you made it, you meant to make the neder, there was no shkag over there, but what triggers it in the future is the eating, that then you forgot and you didn't mean to. That's also not going to be considered a neder because it's a shugging. The next halacha, Omar Kainim Ishti Nenisli. Another category of a nidri shkaga. So the person says that my wife is forbidden to me based on the halacha of a neder. And the reason is she gun veskisi, she stole my wallet. Sheikh says, Bani, she hit my son. Now, Benoit, but it was notified later, Shalohi Kasai, Benoit Shalohi Gamba, he found out that actually she didn't hit him. And she didn't steal. And therefore, obviously, it was a mistake. And therefore, that's not going to be a neder, because it's a neder shkagas. And finally, the fourth case is, Ra Eisen Eichlin Tehim, if he saw people eating his figs, Vamani says, Hare Eichlin Carbon, these figs are like you, like a carbon. They're forbidden to you based on a neder of a carbon. I mean, he doesn't want them to be eating his stuff. The nimtzu of Avachav, it turns out that he finds out that from those people eating his figs is actually his father and his brother, which he wouldn't want them to be forbidden. Now, there were other people there also. So, Bishami Oimrim, Heim Mutar. So, obviously, the father and the brother are permitted because that's Nidrish Gogis. He didn't really mean to make his father and his brother included in this neder. But Umashem Moi Masrim, but the people with them are forbidden because them he did mean to make them forbidden. However, Beisil said that no, both the father and the brother and the other people are all going to be permitted, not going to be forbidden based on this neder that he had partly mistaken. And the reason being, as the Gemara will explain, because of the concept known as neder shehutu miktsasa hotur kulay. And since part of it becomes permitted, because some of the people was a mistake, meaning his father and his brother, so once part of it is permitted, then the whole neder is permitted, and even the other people who he meant to are also going to be permitted to continue eating the fruit. Now, the Rambam points out that obviously this that we're saying in the Mishnah that they're mutar and they're permitted is even without coming to a chacham to be matir the neder. As the Gemara tells us earlier on Chaf Alpha Mabez, that regarding the halacha of our parak of Abar Nadarim, you don't need to have a sheila chacham, it's automatically permitted. Now, the reason for this is regarding the halacha that we're describing over here by the Nidrish Gagis of when he's trying to make them forbidden on the fruits. is because had he known that his father or his brother was with them, he would have excluded them. Now that comes out that there's an error in the actual nether itself, and that he never had intention to make his father and his brothers forbidden. Now, so wherever there's an error in the actual nether itself, turns out that his mouth, which made the nether, is not the same as his heart, which his intention would never to be make his brother and his father forbidden. And therefore, that's nullified by itself, meaning that's why, as all the Arba'an Adarim, don't need it after even be shayl on the nether. Now, however, that's what the Ran contrasts, and he says that's why the previous case of when he says koinim ishti nanisli, that the wife is forbidden to him based on the isra of a nether, that it delineated, and he had to specify why. Because he said, because she stole my wallet, or because she hit my son, because had he not delineated the reason, even if that was the reason why he made her forbidden based on the koinim, but since his intention was to make his wife forbidden based on the nether, so even though the reason for that was for the hitting or for the stealing, and it turns out she didn't, but that's not an error in the primary nether itself, because he meant to make her forbidden. However, over here, where he never intended to make these people, the father and the brother, forbidden, so that's why the nether is batam elov, even if he didn't say the reason, again, in contrast to the previous case, where had he not said, because she stole my wallet or hit my son, then even if it turns out that she didn't, she would be forbidden. Here, the reason why you don't have to have a shayla is because it's an error in the nether itself. Never meant to make his father and his brothers forbidden. Now, the Gemara brings Tanur Lein Abraisa, that Keshem Shenidr Shkog is Mutar, just like we learned in our Mishnah, that a vow that's an error is permitted, it's not a nether. Kach Shavu Shkog is Mutar, so too an oath of it, that's an error is also permitted. So the Gemara is Hechadam Shavu Shkog is. What is the case of Shavu Shkog is? So the Gemara explains, Kigun Rav Kahana Rav Asi, like Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. That is, Hadin Amr Shubu Asa Dahachim Rav. This one says, I swear this is what Rav said. The Hadin Amr Shubu Asa Dahachim Rav. And this one says, no, I swear Rav said not like you. He said like me. Although obviously one of them is obviously lying. And therefore he should be chayav for a Shvua that was said falsely. However, that's what's called a Shvua Shkogis. It's an error. In other words, it's not a halacha of a shvuah, because since each person actually believes that that's what Rav said, so therefore, that's his understanding of it, and it doesn't have the halacha of shvuah because it's a shvuah of shkaga. It's actually a person, it's a mistake. It's an error. It's an inadvertence. The person doesn't mean to be violating the halacha of shvuah because he really thinks that's the truth. So though obviously, in regards to objectiveness, one of them is, but subjectively they're not, and if they are lying, then that's a shaygig, and that's why they're going to be exempt in that case. Now the Ram points out that it's not to say that we couldn't find any other categories for shvuah shkagis, because actually you could take the same cases of the Mishnah of nidri shkagis regarding that if I did eat or I didn't eat, or the wife being forbidden, or all these cases, we could have said the same thing applying to a shvuah. Rather, what the Gemara means to illustrate is the chidush. In other words, how far does this exemption of Shvu Shkogis go? Like the Ran says, as we find elsewhere in Shas, Ad Heichin Gilgul Shvu, we want to know the extent of this halach. Now that's the chiddush of this case, where although by Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, that each one is telling the other one, you're mistaken, and you didn't really understand what Rav was saying. So we would have thought to say that since the other party is still not concerned and he still swears, that that's not considered a shaygig, because he knows there's somebody disputing him. And therefore, had he said that the fruits should be forbidden, contingent on the shvuah that he's making, and then the fruits would be forbidden, because it's not a full-fledged shagig, you know that someone's disputing you. And that's the chiddush of the Gemara, that's still called shvuah shagig, because he's so confident that this is what Rav said, that this is what Rav said, and I swear this is what he said, even if it turns out he's wrong, he still has not violated to create a nis in the peiros of a shvuah, because, again, it's, if he is, turns out that he's wrong, since subjectively he thought he was right, it's going to be a shvuah of a shagig. Now the Gemara continues to explain our Mishnah. So the last case we spoke about was Ra Oisin Oichlin. If let's say he sees people eating his figs, and he says, you're forbidden based on the carbon to eat my figs. Turns out, some of them are his father, his brothers, and them he would never want them to be forbidden. So everyone agrees that the brother and the father are permitted, but there's an Ochlekis Besham Basil regarding everybody else. Do we say that they're also permitted, or they're still forbidden? Now, relating to this, the Gemara brings Tanan Hasim. We learn the Mishnah later on, some Chavav Maraf, that tells us, what that means is, for example, let's say someone made a neder,
that he's not going to eat or drink wine for a full year. Now, at that time, he didn't mention regarding Shabbos and Yom Tov that that's not included in his neder. Now, however, when he wants to undo the neder, he's coming to the Chacham to ask if he could find a way out of the neder, so we can open up what's called the Pesach regards to the honor of Shabbos and Yom Tov. We tell him, look, had you known and recalled at the time that you're making the neder, regarding all the Shabbos that's going to be in the year, all the Yom Tov that's going to be in the year, would you have made a neder? You're not going to have wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov? And he says, no, I wouldn't have. So we permit him, as the Gemara will conclude, even for the weekday, because of this concept known as neder shehut miktasai hutar kulai. So, but the Mishnah says over there that we can make as a Pesach, as an opening of saying of regret, and had you foreseen those consequences, would you have done such a thing? He says, no, I just didn't want to drink wine anymore, but if I would have known that I'm violating regarding Shabbos and Yom Tov, I wouldn't have made such a neder. Now, originally they said that ois na yom mutar. So what turns out is, so those days of Shabbos and Yom Tov are permitted. B'shar kol yom masurim. But the other days, where there is no such Pesach, there's no consequences that were unforeseeable that would have said that you wouldn't have made it for the weekday, because, okay, you don't have wine, but it's only regarding Shabbos and Yom Tov that there's a Pesach, and the neder is permitted on those days, but not the other days. Achibar Rabbi Kiva v'alim, until Rabbi Kiva came, and he taught that no. Neder shehut miktasai hutar kulai. A neder that's partly permitted, meaning to say that you took for the whole year. Now some days are suddenly not going to be forbidden based on the neder, so the whole neder is permitted, and now he could have wine even during the weekdays. Now the Ram points out that actually this Mishnah later on is not the same exact as the Mishnah on our daf. Because whereas our Mishnah over here, as we explained before, is nullified by itself, you don't have to be shoyel, as all the Arba and the Dharma in our Perek, but the Mishnah there, the actual neder is chal, it takes effect. It's just that they could find a Pesach when you go to the Chacham, and he finds an opening because of the honor of Shabbos and Yom Tov that's being diminished now. Now, the reason to differentiate between these two Mishnahs is because in our Mishnah, as we explained previously, there's an error in the primacy of the neder itself, because he never intended to make his father and his brothers forbidden. And therefore, it's not a neder whatsoever. It's all nidrish kogis. And since part is permitted, so the whole thing is permitted. But that Mishnah over there on Dav Samach Vav, you can't say that. Because some of them made himself forbidden in meat or wine for the whole year. He knows that in the year of the Shabbos and Yom Tov. So there's no error in the actual neder itself. So the neder takes effect. It's just in the halachas of creating a Pesach, they could say, regarding the unforeseeable consequences of the honor of Shabbos and Yom Tov, had you known that it's forbidden to fast on Shabbos and Yom Tov, would you have made such a neder, or do you regret that? So therefore, there's a Pesach, so you can be shoyel a neder. But it's not exactly the same, but again, it's similar in this concept, which the Gemara's purpose of why it's bringing this Mishnah over here is because we want to explain Machlik is a Beishame Mesillah in our Mishnah, which is based on this principle of neder shehut miktasai hutar kulai. So we compare and we say that just like that Mishnah over there of the Machlekes Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanon was, are all days permitted, like Rabbi Kiva, because neder shehut miktasai hutar kulai, or like the Rabban had said, that only the Shabbos and Yom Tov are permitted, because you don't say neder shehut miktasai hutar kulai. So that's what the Gemara is quoting now from Rabbah, that that's the same thing that Beisham and Basila arguing in our Mishnah. Again, although it's not the same exact halacha, because here it's permitted by itself, and there it has to be through a Pesach. Now, Amar Rabbah, Rabbah explains, and he's the first opinion mentioned, which on our daf, and the next daf, there's going to be interpretation from Rabbah and the Machlekes, but Rabbah gives the following interpretation. He says, the Kule Amar, everybody, meaning both Bishame and Basil, Kol Heicha de Amar, wherever a person says, Ilu Hayisu Yudea Sha'aba Beinechem, had I known that my father was amongst you people that are eating my figs, Hayisi, I mean, I would have said, and it's important what he says he would have said. I would have said, Kulchem Asurin Chutz Mi'Aba. I would have said, you're all forbidden except for my father. So then Rabbah says, everyone would agree, Dekulan Asurin V'Ava Mutter. Even Beis Hillel would agree that actually they're all forbidden and only the father and the brothers would be permitted. And the reason being is because here there's no application of the concept of Neder Shod Miktsasa Hut Mekula. And the reason is because since when he made the Neder, what did he say? Kulchem Asurin, you're all forbidden like a carbon on my figs. Now, he's also saying the same thing. He's maintaining the same terminology of Kulchem Asurin, which he means for everybody else. And that's the same thing he said before. Now, although he's excluding his father from that category, however, that's not called a neder that's partly permitted, because what he's essentially saying and qualifying is that my father was never in that neder that I said, but everybody else that I said is forbidden, which was what I originally said, kulchem asurin. I'm still saying that. I just would have added on chutz mi'aba. So since you're not really permitting that neder, you're just qualifying it by adding on a clause, even Bissel would agree that everyone would still be forbidden. It's just a father that would be permitted. The whole machlekes b'sham and Bissel is ela ba'im, only if a person says ilu ha'yisi yedea she'aba b'neichem, had I known that father was amongst you people, I would have said pleini u'pleini asur. I would have gone through all the people. You and you and you are asur. Va'aba mutter, and father is permitted. Now, and that is where we say that Beis Shammai is like the Rabbanan, that hold that there is no halacha concept of neder shehud miktsasa hutar kulay. So although that partly is being permitted, because although here he said kulchem asurin, which included everybody, and now he's saying, had I known, I would have said this and this and this person, which is different. So that is a neder that's partly permitted, because now the father is being excluded. And therefore, Beis Shammai says it doesn't make a difference. So the one that's permitted is permitted, but everyone else is also. But Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Kiva. And the reason being is like this, is because the way this was just described by Rabbah is that there's two elements. First of all, as we said, that there's the primary mistake, there's the error regarding the father. Now, however, the reason why this is different than the first case, that Beis Hillel would agree that here you would say Shehut miktsasa hutar kulay, is because there's also an error regarding the terminology that would be used regarding everybody else. Because had he known that his father was amongst them, even for everyone else, he wouldn't have said a terminology that says kulchem asurin. Now, why would he have not said that? Because a person, at least in this case, the way he's saying, I would have said it a different way, it would have bothered him to say a word that even for a moment would have sounded like that is including his father in the Isser. Just by saying kulchem asurin, kulchem is everybody. That includes the father. Now, when you say chutz mi'aba, for that split second that you didn't say chutz mi'aba yet, sounds like you're forbidding your father. No. Chas v'shalom, I would never make my father forbidden. And therefore, he says that I wouldn't have said kulchem. I would have said you and you and you and you. So since there's two elements, which is the primary error regarding the father and the error even regarding everybody else regarding the words that would have been used, so in that case, the Beis Hillel holds, in such a case, that fits into the category of neder shehud miktsasai hutar kulay, because here it is even regarding everybody else. There is a change that's being made over here. It's not being maimed devarav. If you're keeping your original text that you would have said, I said kulchem asurin, I'm going to keep kulchem asurin, everybody agrees, so then the kulchem are still asurin. And it's just the chutz mi'aba that I would have said and that I didn't know. So that's something that's an error. So obviously it's not a neder, it's not going to be forbidden. And even the father is going to be permitted. But what Beis Hillel is saying is that even in the words that you used of kulchem asurin, you wouldn't have used those words because you wouldn't want people to even think for a second that it means your father. You would have said and delineated every single person, oh, so now you're changing even the whole text of kulchem asurin. So in that text, since part of it is permitted because we're excluding the father, so now that whole neder is being undone. And since it's neder shud miktsasai, so therefore Beis Hillel holds, it's going to be hutur mechlalai, and the whole thing is permitted. Everybody's permitted, in contrast to Beis Shammai, who holds that no, like the Rabbanan, that neder shud miktsasai is not hutur kulay, and therefore only the father is permitted, but not everybody else.